Amen, amen. Well, I want to say to you again, Happy Easter. I know there was a lot going on when I welcomed you earlier. The kids were coming up. Didn't they do a good job? Let's give them a hand. My goodness. You know what I love watching is every Easter, like the stage needs to get bigger and bigger because there's more kids, and that's a good thing, amen. That's a good thing. One of the things that I want you to know today, the biggest thing I want you to know today is that we're not here for a funeral service. Amen. Like we know what Jesus did on the cross. You know, we lit it up for you because it's a symbol. The cross is now a symbol of not a death. Today we've come not to a funeral service. We have come to celebrate the greatest news in human history, that the stone has been rolled away, that the tomb is empty, and Jesus, our Savior, has risen from the dead. Can we give Jesus a praise this morning on Easter? Woo! Tell you what, the 9:30 service had a little golf clapping going on, so you did a good job, but anyway, what that means for us is it's not just something that happened over 2,000 years ago. What it means for us, for you and for me, is that Jesus is alive, and it means that he's available to work in your life and in my life, in our real life today. And so today, I want to share with you a really simple thought up top that I think I hope will be profound, but more importantly, I pray can have a profound impact on your life if you'll let God do it. And it's this, is that Easter was never meant for us to just come and celebrate. Easter was never meant for us to just come and celebrate. I hope you do. Like, I hope you enjoy that. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt, and that's all fun, and that's all good. But Easter was never meant for us to just come and celebrate. Instead, Jesus rose from the grave so that you could experience Easter. Did you know that? Jesus rose from the grave so that you could experience Jesus, the resurrection. Because what happened on the resurrection wasn't just a story about Jesus, it's a story for you. It's what Jesus wants to do in you. And what I found is that so many people know the story of Easter. Maybe each year you come and you celebrate Easter. You hear the same story and maybe like a golf clap, you say, yep, he's risen. It is finished. You know, it's done. All right, let's go to the egg hunt, you know, and go back to our same old lives. But my fear is that so many people have never truly experienced the resurrection in their life. And I love how the Apostle Paul talked about that. Before we get into our main text today, I want to share a verse that I've shared the last few Easters that is just so powerful about summarizing what Easter is all about, okay? And here's what the Apostle Paul says, what Easter means for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Here's what he says. He says, the Spirit of God, or all the Spirit that's in God, all the power that was in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's speaking to believers. It lives in you. Did you know that? In fact, if you're not a follower of Jesus, it means that power is available to live in you. And he says, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, here's the good news, he will give life to your mortal bodies. In other words, he will give life to your dead places by the same Spirit living within you. That's the hope of Easter. And so here's the big idea I want to share with you today is this. Because Jesus is alive, the power of the resurrection is available for you. Because Jesus is alive, the power of the resurrection is available for you. And that's really what we're talking about in our series, Raised to Life. In fact, today and over the next few weeks, we're going to look at resurrection stories in the Bible. And we're going to talk about how Jesus wants to lead us today to abundant life. Next week, we're going to talk about how he wants you to experience a hope. Maybe for some of you, you feel hopeless and you wonder, you know, what God is going, you know, what's going on and where life is headed. Next week, we're going to share maybe one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. Don't miss it. And then we're going to talk in week 3 about how God wants to lead us to a purpose that's bigger than us. And then finally, how God wants to take broken people and make us whole. That's where we're going in this series. We'd love for you to join us for the rest of it. But the truth is, we truly believe here at The Fountain that God wants to take you, every part of you, every area in your life, and he wants to raise it to life. And we believe that because we've seen it in our church over and over and over in people's lives. Resurrection is happening all around us. And so with that in mind, let's jump into the Easter story. It's a familiar story maybe because we kind of know the punchline. That's the hard thing with preaching on Easter is everybody knows the end result. And so, but I pray that this will be a new message. This will speak to you in a powerful way today. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. It says this, Luke's account. Luke was a physician, and he tested everything. He tested and interviewed people, and he put together this account of all the eyewitnesses who experienced Jesus, and here's how Luke writes about it. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, let's just stop right here, because I want us to sit in this moment. Because I find it really fascinating. We get up on Easter. Many of us, we get up on Easter and we're like, woo, Jesus is risen. He's alive. The Easter egg hunts are happening. I get to wear my pastels. The women care about that more than the men, by the way. We don't care, but, you know, anyway. But we get so excited about this, but the first Easter wasn't like that at the beginning. I mean, when everybody got up on Easter morning, everybody felt kind of defeated when Easter began. Hard to imagine. Like, they felt so defeated. They felt so lost because everybody was still living with a Friday mindset. You know, what they had all watched, the disciples and the women, they'd all watched on Friday as Jesus, the hope of the world, was crucified on a cross. He breathed his last breath, and when he breathed the last breath, you know what he said? It is finished. It's finished, which means I've done everything that I came to do on the cross for you. But they didn't know that. They didn't know that it was good news. And so the thing that happened was he's placed in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed, and everything in that moment looked final for the disciples. It looked final because everybody knows that dead people stay dead, right? Now, there is that creepy moment in the movie The Sixth Sense where the little boy, you watch the whole movie, and then he says something crazy. He says, I see dead people. And you're like, oh my goodness. He says, they're walking around everywhere, and they don't even know they're dead. That's a creepy moment, y'all. Like, that's a creepy moment, right? But I have to tell you, as a pastor, so many times, I can relate to what that boy said, because sometimes I feel like I see dead people. I see people who are walking around everywhere. And maybe they don't have the life that Jesus truly came to give them. Maybe they're breathing alive, but they're not really alive. And I want you to know that's what Jesus came to do. But here's the thing. On Friday, just picture what the disciples, what it would have felt like for the disciples who followed Jesus in that moment on Friday. I mean, if you followed Jesus, you had left everything to follow him. You've left your family, you left your home, you left your career, and your buddies down the street had said, man, you are crazy. You're crazy to leave all this to go follow this guy, Jesus. But you truly believe that if you followed Jesus, that you would be part of a movement that would change the world forever. And so you followed him. And when you followed him, you saw miracles that were incredible. You saw him heal people and work in their lives. You saw lives literally being changed. And then when Jesus spoke, remember, he's the Word made flesh. And so when Jesus spoke, it was like God was speaking directly to your soul as you followed him. And so just imagine for the disciples, after you hung all your hopes on Jesus, on Friday you watched as Jesus was hung on a cross. And you're looking around trying to figure out which way is up. It's like the carpet got pulled, the rug got pulled from underneath you, and you're left to wonder, where do we go from here? Where do we hope from here? And so the women, kind of aimlessly, the disciples were hiding in the homes, not knowing what to do. And the women, just kind of aimlessly, they walk to the tomb on Easter morning, not knowing where else to go. And so I want you to know, when they got to the tomb on Easter morning, nobody was sitting there with a lawn chair and popcorn, you know? Nobody was waiting for this incredible show to happen of Jesus raising from the dead, right? Nobody expected that. And instead, it was one of these things that the scripture tells us that the women showed up at the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for a proper burial. There wasn't enough time to do that when Jesus died on the cross and when the Sabbath happened on Saturday. So they went to prepare his body for a burial. And so I guess we could say it like this. Easter started at the funeral home. By the way, I can't resist telling you this old Cajun story about three guys who go to a funeral home. And the guys' names are Boudreaux, Thibodeau, and Guidry. And they come to the place where the body is. It was their turn to pay their respects, and they look at that casket, and in that moment they start to kind of think about their lives. And Boudreaux, he starts thinking, he asks his friends, he says, guys, now remember, he's Cajun, so he's a little accent. I can't do it well, but I'm gonna try. Guys, one day when you're laying in that box, what do you want them to say about you, about your life? What do you want them to say? And it's interesting. Thibodeau said, well, I want them to say that I was a family man. I would want people to say that I was a family man, that I was a good husband, I loved my wife, and that I was a great dad, I was a great father. And then Guidry said, well, you know, when I'm laying in that box, I want people to say, you know, he helped a lot of people. He did a lot for the community. He served people well. He made a difference in our community. He made it better. And then Boudreaux got to his turn. He asked the question, and he said, well, man, that's easy. I want them to look at that box, and I want them to say, look, he's moving, you know? Hey, that's funny. I don't care who you are, right? Anyway, hey, we can have some fun because when it comes to the funeral home moment, because that's not the way the story ends, right? And so when you think about it, that's a lot of what this day is all about. There's two realities that we're holding in tension. There's the death part and there's the life part on Easter. There's two parts that we're celebrating, two distinct components. There's the Friday part, the Good Friday part, where we celebrate when Jesus died on the cross for us. In fact, on Friday, I shared last week that because of our sin, we've separated ourselves from God, and there's no way that we can mend the gap between us and God. The only way to do it is for God coming, dying in our place. And so the good news of the cross is that while we were sinners, while we were unable to save ourselves, Christ came and he died for us. He died for us. And so at the cross, Jesus, what this is about is that Jesus came, he stretched out his arms and crucified love to say, I love you this much. And he took on all of your sin and all of your shame and all of your past. And he said, put it on me. And he died on the cross for what our sins deserve so that you could have a relationship with God and could encounter eternal life. And so the cross was God's final response to mend the gap. And the only thing that Jesus asked for us, there's one thing Jesus asked for us in order to get in on that. Jesus says, look, because I have given my life fully to you on the cross, I want you to give your life fully to me. I want to invite you to trust me to be your savior of your sins and the leader of your lives. That's how you get in on that. But the Friday part of Easter is filled with death and disappointment and defeat. In fact, I want you to know the cross is actually really, really, really bad news. If the resurrection didn't happen, it was bad news. And so the women, they got to the tomb at first, and it was that bad news, that Monday morning groggy feeling as they got there. It was like they showed up at the funeral home. And what I found in my life is that when we talk about the two realities, this Good Friday part, is that the first part is that most of us can relate to the Friday part of the resurrection story. Most of us can relate to the disappointment of Good Friday because we've all been there in our lives before. You know, we've experienced that funeral home moment in our lives. Maybe not literally, but maybe in our own lives, you've probably been in seasons in your life that felt like it was stuck in a funeral home. Maybe you experienced seasons of your life where you felt defeated, where you felt lost, where you felt hopeless. And I would imagine deep down, if you're honest this morning, that there are probably some areas or maybe an area of your life that you would say, you know what, this area of my life is more dead and dying than alive and thriving, and what I really need is a resurrection. I mean, maybe for you, it's an area of your life where you feel stuck, maybe in your career, maybe with an opportunity. Maybe for you, you're struggling with a relationship. Maybe there's a dream that you've always had, but something's happened, life has happened, and it seems like the dream is dead and dying. Maybe for you, it's your finances. They're like messed up and debt is racking up. Or maybe you've got more money than you've ever had in the bank, but yet you still find that deep down inside, you feel more empty and purposeless than ever before. What I found is that we can all relate to this Friday experience, but unfortunately, not enough people can relate to the Easter Sunday, the resurrection experience. And so with that, let's look at the resurrection part of the story. Continuing on in verse 2, it says this. It says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. Those were angels, by the way. And it says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them this interesting question, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, I could preach on that a long time. Because don't we all do that sometimes? Don't we all have moments and seasons of our lives where we're trying to find life, but we go find it in dead places? They go to find the living among the dead. And so here's what it says next. The great news of Easter is this. The angel says, he is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must first be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? It says, then they remembered his words. See, they weren't paying attention all those times when Jesus says, hey guys, I'm going to die on a cross, and 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. And they're like, oh, this must be an interesting parable you're teaching us, Jesus, right? They didn't want to hear any of that. But when Jesus did it, they finally remembered their words. And so I was wondering this week what it might have sounded like when the angel first announced the news on Easter. They're in this funeral home moment, right? Everybody's defeated. Everybody's kind of feeling like they don't know which way is up. And all of a sudden, an angel comes with this incredible news. He is risen. I wonder how that would have sounded like, you know? You know, I've got three kids, and my three kids, the middle one is 4 years old. Her name is Kelsey, and we have some really interesting conversations with our kids in the car. They just tell us all sorts of things and all sorts of stories. I love it. And this week, I was driving in the car, and I just asked my daughter, Kelsey, hey, tell me about what Easter is about. Tell me about, like, the story of the resurrection. And so she started telling me. She said, well, Jesus, he died on the cross. I said, he did? He died on a cross? She said, yeah, a long time ago. He died on a cross. And she's telling me the story, and it was hysterical. And I just decided, man, this is too good of a parent moment. I want to remember this. And so even though I'm driving, this is bad, I took out my phone, and I started videoing her, you know, from behind. And so, but what I want to show you, we had to clip it down for time, but what I want to show you is as she announces what the resurrection would have sounded like, as she was telling me about that, I imagine maybe it sounded like this. Check it out.
And then I wanted to check if my Jesus was gone, and he was gone. He's alive. For a real live world, he's alive.
Very matter of fact, right? For the real live world, guys, he's alive. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yes, Daddy, he is alive, okay? Like, for the real live world. And so, anyway, I don't know how it might have sounded. Maybe you can think of how it might have sounded on Easter. Maybe the angel had some spunk, and maybe the angel was like, woo, he is risen. I don't know. Right, but I think Jesus liked to have fun with people, and so maybe it was pretty interesting, lots of energy. I think a lot of times we read it, he is not here, he has risen, Bueller, right? It's like, man, that's not how it went at all. It was good news. Here's the bottom line I want to share with you. A bottom line for today is that Easter is a reminder that anything that's dead in us can be raised to life in Christ. Anything that's dead in us can be raised to life in Christ. Every person, every sin, all of our past, all of our shame, Jesus can raise it to life. Jesus can take any area of your life that's dead and dying, and he can bring resurrection to it. Why? Because on Easter, check this out. He's in a tomb, right? And it's a circle. On Easter Sunday, it's almost like God got out the scissors, right? Because the tomb was too big for people to move, really. It was, like, really heavy. It's almost like God took out the scissors, and he cut a hole in this prison called death so that he could create a portal through which we can encounter eternal life, right? And I love this because Jesus opened the tomb so that we could walk inside of it. It's I guess I could say it like this. Jesus got out of the grave in order to get you out of yours. That's the good news of Easter. And so it's like, this is why Paul can say these words, and we can rejoice in these words in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul said this, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sin? Or where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And I love this because the death is not just a physical death for you. The good news may be that maybe you need to hear today is that resurrection, that death that Jesus came to overcome is any area that's dead in you. And so I want to share with you just two quick things about ways that you can experience this eternal life, ways you can experience this resurrection power working in your life. The first way you can experience it, and this is real simple, number one is this, you can experience resurrection right now in your life. You can experience the resurrection right now in your life. I always thought that the resurrection was something that we, you know, maybe we accept Jesus and then we sit on the bench, kind of do our thing, and we wait to go to heaven. No, resurrection starts now if you're a follower of Jesus, because Jesus is with us. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I encounter people who kind of feel defeated, and they'll say to me something like this: look, I know because of what Jesus did on the cross, I know I can be forgiven. Woo! I know I can be forgiven by God. But you don't understand, like, in this area of my life, I'll never be able to get back what was lost. I'll never be able to get it back. I've messed up those dead places in my life, in my past, those dead places in my present struggle right now. It kind of looks like I'm ruined. It's ruined. It's over. It's done. My marriage, my career, my finances, my situation, my reputation, it's in ruins. You know, St. Andrew's Cathedral was built in the 1200s, long time ago. Here's a picture of it, St. Andrew's Cathedral. St. Andrew's Cathedral was built in the 1200s, and about 60 years after it was commissioned for people to worship, it was burned to the ground. Interesting, especially in light of what many of us watched recently on the news as the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was burned to the ground, right? In fact, I was in Paris in 2002 on a singing tour, and we were booked to sing in the Notre Dame Cathedral. I was like, whoa, the Hunchback of Notre Dame might be there, right, to hear, I don't know. Anyway, so I was ready to sing, and we didn't realize that they had double booked us. They double booked us to another choir, and so we go in there, and there's another choir singing in our place, and I'm like, oh no. Like, we're not gonna get to sing in the Notre Dame Cathedral, right? And so we got to the right side of the cross. And we just decided, you know what? We weren't being rude or anything. Nobody was singing at this time. We just decided, let's just start singing the song we were going to sing. And we started singing, and all of a sudden this guy came and started telling us something in French. And basically, he kicked us out of the Notre Dame Cathedral, right? So just know that your pastor has been kicked out of church before, a very popular church, right? So anyway, the St. Andrew's Cathedral, though, in Scotland, it was burned to the ground. And the people decided, you know what? Let's not let that happen. Let's build it back up. Like, this place is in ruins, but let's build the cathedral back up, and they did. Well, something else happened, and it got ruined again. And they said, well, we're going to do it again. Let's rebuild it back. And they rebuilt it, and it was great. And then all of a sudden, something happened again, and it got into ruins. And the cycle kept repeating. And finally, as they looked at the rubble that they kept rebuilding over and over, they finally just gave up. And they were like, you know what? That rubble that's going on, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how much we fix it. It's always going to be ruined. And I would imagine that this reality, this picture, is maybe a picture of some of our lives today. That maybe there's a place in your life where you have said over and over in your life, it's useless, it's pointless. Like, every time I try to get on the right track, it feels like something comes crashing down and I'm left to rebuild once again. And the cycle repeats. And it's one of these things where I want you to know that when an area of your life feels like it's dead or in ruins, it feels final. Feels defeated unless you have resurrection power. Unless you have resurrection power that can take all things dead and bring it back to life. Here's the good news for you. Don't give up, because only Jesus can take the ruins in your life and can bring them back to life. Only Jesus can take the ruins and can restore it and rebuild it and bring it back to life. Chris Hodges once said this about the resurrection. He said, the resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to bridge the gap between the life you are living now and the life you were made to live. And so, what does that mean? Well, let me ask you this question. What area of your life do you need a resurrection? What area of your life needs a resurrection? I want you to think about that, because I want you to know, if you bring it to Jesus, he has the power to begin to rebuild the ruins. He has the power to begin to fill the empty places and to begin to bring anything that's dead in you and make it alive. Jesus brings resurrection now, today, in your life. But the second thing that Jesus came to do, number two, is that I want you to know you can also experience resurrection in the future in heaven. You can also experience resurrection in the future in heaven. In fact, the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about this. And it's a really cool verse in Revelation. He talks about heaven a lot of places. But I want you to check out what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. This is cool. Here's what it says. Jesus says these words. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. I love that. Like, he's just joking. He's like, hey, you know, I'm the one who was dead. I love that, because all other gods are dead, but our God was dead. And he says, and behold, I am alive forevermore, or. And then he amens himself, you know, like, I guess the congregation wasn't amen, and so he's like, that's good, so I'm going to amen myself. And then he says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. I have the keys of hell and of death. This is great news. I think this is a funny verse, because this just shows us that the devil is so defeated that he doesn't even have keys to his own house. Isn't that awesome? That's what Jesus came to do on the cross. In fact, in other words, between Friday and what happened on Sunday, Jesus confronted the devil, and he took away the keys to hell and death, and he won that on the cross. He holds the keys. By the way, hell is not a place where God sends people who he's mad at. Hell is just a place where people go who decide that they want to pay their own bill. You ever been to a restaurant and somebody kind of pays for your bill? I mean, what do you do in that moment? You don't go to the waiter and say, no, I have to pay it as well, right? That's crazy if somebody's paid your bill, you walk out and you celebrate. Let me be so bold as to say this. You would be crazy to pay the bill that Jesus has already won for you on the cross. What Jesus invites us to do is to simply accept it. See, keys are really important because keys unlock things. And what basically Jesus is saying is this: I was resurrected so that now I possess the power to unlock hell and to unlock death for everyone forever. And so today, I want you to know that Jesus is not in a tomb. He rose from the dead. He was on this earth for 40 days, talking in bodily form with his disciples and other people, appeared to people, and then he ascended into heaven. And today, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, a place of power. He's in heaven. And heaven is a place where everything is right, where everything is good, where everything is the way God intended it to be. It's a place where we can have full access to God. It's a place where people love each other the way we were intended to love. And there's no anxiety in people's lives because we know who we are because of who Jesus is in our lives. And so Scripture tells us that in heaven there's no more pain, there's no more struggle, there's no more defeat, there's no more death, there's no more cancer, there's no more obstacles. It's this perfect place. And Jesus says in the Scriptures, behold, I have gone there to prepare a place for you. I've gone there to prepare a place for you. And so as Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that's available for anyone who trusts Jesus to be the leader of our life and the savior of our sins. And so let me close like this. In America, there's this place in California that's called Death Valley. Here's a picture of Death Valley and what it looks like. Man, it is dead. Like, it gets its name honest, right? There is nothing alive in Death Valley in California. It is the hottest, driest, most parched land. Nothing comes out of the ground that's good, you know? There's skeletons all over the place. It's dead, dead, dead. And it's interesting because everything about Death Valley says it's over. But I want you to know that back in December of 2004, a weird weather pattern happened that had never happened before, so much as we know in history, that 7 inches of rain fell in just a few days in the middle of Death Valley, and nothing happened at first. Rain happened, nothing happened at first. But by the time Easter 2005 came about, I want you to check out what that ground in Death Valley looked like. Here's a picture of it. Isn't that incredible? And what they realized in that moment is that Death Valley wasn't dead. It was just dormant. Death Valley wasn't dead. It was just dormant. It had potential. It had potential. That right there beneath the surface of everything that looked dead and parched and done were actually seeds that were just waiting on a resurrection day. But all it needed was a moment. All it needed was the environment so that life could happen. And what we've tried to do for you today is that we've tried to create an environment where life can happen, where Jesus can come into our lives and we can experience resurrection. And I want you to know that beneath the surface of those dead places in your life, that we truly believe that there are seeds just that God is planting that are just waiting for a resurrection in moments like these. And so we're going to enter into a time of response. And I want you to help me with this. If you have your Connect card, if you would just take that out for a minute, I want to have you write down something on your Connect card, and it'll be confidential. Just me and one of our admin people will see it. But I want you to just take this survey, because I want to ask you, where are you with Jesus? Here's the first thing. Letter A. I just want you to write down a letter, A, B, C, D. A letter A. Maybe this would be where you are. Maybe you would say A stands for already. That I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. And maybe you would say that. Praise God. Praise God. I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I know Jesus. I've experienced salvation, his working in my life. Maybe that's you. You would write down A somewhere on your Connect card. Just it can be somewhere small. We just love to pray for you and say congratulations. Now, B, here maybe you would say B. B stands for beginning. Maybe you would say today, I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus today. Like today is my resurrection day. I want to receive that salvation. I want to receive Jesus into my life. Maybe you would write B on your Connect card. We'd celebrate with you. Praise God. Maybe you would say that maybe you're C. C stands for consider. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, this all sounds good, but I'd like to think about it more. I'd like to consider it a little bit more first. And that's great. I'm so glad that this is a church where everybody doesn't have it together and everybody doesn't know all the answers, that we just come. And this is a place where people from all walks of life, for people who don't even follow Jesus, for people who aren't even in church, this is a place designed for everybody to come and encounter Jesus right where you are. So praise God you're here. I'd like to consider it. And maybe the last one, if you'd be so honest as to say this, I love honest people. D, maybe you would say, I don't ever intend on making that decision. A, B, C, D, where are you? Where are you? Would you just take a moment and just write down a letter somewhere on there? And as the offering baskets come by in a minute, we would love to just pray over you and over this time. As you're thinking about what letter you're going to write down, let me pray over us as we continue this time. God, we are so grateful for the way that you love us, that so much that you are willing to send your one and only Son into the world to live among us, to show us what love looks like, and to die on a cross for our sins. God, I pray that that would be a personal story in the lives of each person here. I pray that we wouldn't just experience the death part of Easter, that we would also experience the resurrection part. Because Jesus, on Easter, you got out of the grave to get us out of ours. And so I pray over those dead areas in our lives, that they would come back to life. God, we know that resurrection's possible. God, I pray that for those of us who know Jesus, who have a relationship with Jesus, I thank you, God, for it. Maybe for those in here today who say, today I'm trusting Jesus to be the Savior of my sins and the leader of my life. I want to turn from my way of living to your way of living, Jesus. We celebrate that this is your resurrection day. And God, we pray for all of those people who are considering or don't ever plan to begin following you. God, that you would begin to show them your love, show them your power, and that they would experience that resurrection power that's available for everyone. We ask this in Jesus' name.